Welcome. This is Alan Cox.
Thank you.
Alan is from New Community Church. Is that right?
Yeah.
Southampton. And Alan works for Pioneer 2 days a week and coordinates the Pathway course, which you might want to say a little bit about, and Ignite, you've been lumbered with at the moment. And it's great to have you with us. And Kerry, why don't you pray for Alan and say a little bit, when you do that, about why you invited these guys up.
Thanks for the heads up, Dave, on that. Just watch out next time. So I met Lizzie and Alan at Ignite about a year and a bit ago, and I've also heard Lizzie speak at the Pioneer Leaders Conference and another conference, Four Winds, I think, and for me, they just carry something that I want to see released here. So particularly more freedom in things of the Holy Spirit, which would be a wonderful thing. So with the stuff we're doing at the moment, exploring the Holy Spirit, I really wanted Lizzie to come to dwell, and Alan as well. But I did actually invite Lizzie, and then we thought this would be great if they could come on a Sunday morning, and they're coming together, which is wonderful. So here they are, and I'll pray. Lord, thank you for Alan and Lizzie, and I know they've been on such an amazing journey over the last few months with highs and lows. And Lord, we thank you for keeping them safe and for all that you've done in their lives, all your grace to them. And Lord, we pray that you'll anoint Alan today as he speaks to us and pinpoint the things that you really want him to share with us, things that will help us in our journey to get closer to you, to understand more of the things of your Spirit, to understand more about living like heaven is near. So, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill him, and let it be your words that he speaks out. In your name, amen.
Okay, this is great to be with you today. I've been in church leadership for over 30 years, and I've done just about anything that you could imagine. Probably, yeah, even PA. I've even done the PA. I'm not very good at it. I've done teaching, finances, I've done worship leading, I've been a group leader, I've done the congregational leader job, I've pastoral director of our church, trainer overseas, mission, mentor, guide, coach, church planting. But in all of that time, probably the last 5 to 10 years have been the most exciting. I think we've just seen an amazing breath of heaven come in a way that I don't think we've seen in all of that time, even though amazing things have happened. And I really believe that Ignite is a part of that. And the Leadership Pathway, which I wasn't going to say anything about, but Leadership Pathway is a desire to raise up church leaders within Pioneer that carry the DNA, that carry the heart of what Pioneer stands for into the next season, so that as these leaders gather, as these potential leaders gather, we will create something that will not only give them the tools to lead, but actually will create that relationship for the future. So that's the Leadership Pathway in brief. But I believe that these are very exciting days, and I hope you're excited. Two of you are excited. Okay, that's all right. That's enough. We work with two of you. Now, you've talked about heaven is near, and I think for me that is part of what's come home over the last 10 years, that heaven is actually near, much nearer than we have realized. And I just want to give a few verses to start off with and see if we get any further than that. I've got a lot more to share, but there are three verses in Matthew that I thought would be a good place to start. The first one is in Matthew 3, and it's John the Baptist And he's announcing that heaven, that the kingdom is near. And he says, get ready. Now, getting ready is essentially another word for repent. But I think repent, if I shouted out, repent! You know, it doesn't quite sort of carry the, it might carry the weight, but it doesn't carry the heart, I think, of what John the Baptist was trying to communicate, or that sense is trying to communicate. And what he did was he got them ready. He prepared them for something that was about to happen. He didn't really understand what that would look like, I don't think, but he was getting them ready. And getting ready for the understanding of heaven is near is actually probably very simple, but actually important and neglected thing that we need to get our hearts around. So I want us to get us ready just now by doing something. So I want you to cooperate with me, if you would. And I want you to notice as we're going to sing a note, and I'm going to get you to say some words, and I want you to notice what changes as one, we sing those words, and then I'm going to change those words. I don't want anything complicated. I want us to sing one note. So no harmonies. Can you do that? No. Try and keep to the single note. And I want you just to notice what happens, okay? So, pitch a note. Da, okay, da. God is so good, so good, so good. God is so good, so good, so good. You might find it easier to close your eyes. God is so good, so good, so good. God is so good, 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 so good. God is so good, so good, so good. God is so good, so good, so good. God is so good, so good, so good. You are 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 holy. 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 Did you notice any change? Imperceptible? One of the things I found myself doing a lot recently is when we sing and worship, I actually do agree with it by saying, yeah. Because sometimes we sing the songs and we don't actually understand, or we don't engage with the words. So I've been saying, yeah. And as I agree with that, something changes. And as we sing something like that together, something changes in us. When we, if you notice the change, there was an imperceptible change when we talk about God's goodness and then move to God is holy. What we're doing is we are agreeing with heaven. We're aligning ourselves with heaven. We are saying, we're preparing ourselves. We're saying, heaven, you're near. And that's what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing. I think for us, if we are to live as if heaven is near, we need to prepare as if heaven is here. We can't afford to live as if heaven isn't here. We need to live as if heaven is here, because God is here. And you are an amazing church. You're a fantastic group of people individually, but you're also an amazing group together. And together, as you encounter heaven, as you step into that place of knowing that heaven is near, prepare your hearts. It is a repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a change of mind that is about a change of behavior, a change of the way you position yourselves. So that's the first verse. I won't ask for feedback, otherwise I might not get anywhere at all. The second verse is that Jesus then announces the same message. He says, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's Matthew 4, 17. But what is heaven? What is he announcing? What is Jesus saying? Now, for me, an important clue I found in the Lord's Prayer. We say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how do we end that prayer in our normal pattern of prayer? We say, yours is the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? It's the rule of God. Yours is the power, which is it is the ability to make that rule occur. The power. The ability to make that happen. And yours is the glory, which is the manifestation of the rule of God. Now, I don't know what you've thought about what glory is, but I suppose for me, glory has always looked like a bit like sort of shimmering gold dust, or, you know, the Shekinah sort of sense of something coming down, or of angels, or of miracles, or healings, all that kind of stuff. And it is. Glory is that. But actually, glory is righteousness. It's love, it's joy, it's peace. So that is the manifestation of the rule of God. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, healing, miracles. They're all on a par. But I wouldn't want you to think that just going up and saying to someone, do you know, I love you, is enough. Because a manifestation of the rule of God, the glory, carries something more than just words. It carries something of the weight of God's presence, of his rule. So I'd like you to hold your hands out in front of you just for a moment. Again, if you want to close your eyes, that's fine. But Lord, I just pray that you'd show us what that glory is like. Just now, the manifestation of your rule. Now, as the glory comes upon you, you'll feel, some of you may feel sensation in your hands. For some of you, they may feel like fire. For others, most of us will probably sense the sense of weight. Again, imperceptible, but you just know that God's glory has come. So the manifestation of the rule of God, the glory of God, when we demonstrate love, has something of the hand of God upon it. And that's an indication that heaven is near. Okay, you got that? I can see that some of you really know that. Okay. So when Jesus came, he was declaring something of the manifestation of that rule of God, the glory of the kingdom, the favor of God, the blessing, the sense that judgment had been removed and that God was wanting to bless. That's the rule of God, that everything should prosper, everything should grow, everything should become like in heaven. The culture of heaven should be expressed on earth. Then in Matthew 10:7, we have Jesus calling the apostles, and he says, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. But he then adds words to it that we haven't seen before, although he's expressed it. He goes, says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you've received. That is heaven. That's the kingdom near. That's heaven near. That's an expression of the glory. So healing needs to be a part of that. And I've got a story that I'm briefly going to tell you, and another one a bit later on if I get the chance. 25 years ago, I responded to a word from Ian Andrews. Anyone remember Ian Andrews? Okay. Ian Andrews gave a word about cartilage problems in knees, and I responded, and I was immediately healed. And for 20 years thereabouts, I just lived with the blessing of that. But I never shared it with anyone. I never talked about it. And then about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I started to tell the story about how God had healed me of cartilage problems in my knees. And as I told the story, people got healed. The seed of what had happened for me started to go out to others. Then something remarkable happened for me. In 2011, I went to a place called Kalimpong, which is up in the north, near Darjeeling, northeast India. And I was speaking to a church there, and probably about 200 people. I was really tired. I was actually going down with a cold. And I had this German nurse friend. Now, German nurse friends, Germans, are very precise in my experience. And they tell it like it is my experience. And so told my story and said, I believe that God wanted to heal this morning. And she looked at me and she said, everyone in this room is going to have knee problems because we live in a mountainous area. What a daft thing to say. Okay. The amazing thing was, within about 2 minutes of me saying that, the oldest person in the room, who was over 90, got healed of knee problems. And in that room, another 50 got healed of knee problems that day. So I thought, right. In the face of logic, the kingdom is near. In the face of everything else you could imagine, the kingdom broke through. The rule of God, the glory of God came. And since then, my hit rate on praying for people with knee problems is 95%. So it went up from 10% to 95%. So I have great confidence that if you've got a knee problem this morning, you're going to be healed, okay? But the point of it is, it's a demonstration, first of God's love for you, but it's also a demonstration of his rule, of his glory. Now, I have two words that I just want to share. So respond later or now, but respond to God rather than me initially. Someone's got some pain in their stomach area around on the right-hand side. It may be a growth or it may just be something, some pain. And I believe God wants to heal you now. So just receive that. And there's a couple of people at least who've got flat feet and God wants to heal you. Okay? We'll know when that happens, because normally people laugh when they get healed of flat feet. Anyway, so just release that. Now, that's a manifestation of the rule of God. Jesus mentioned that. That's what it's like to live with heaven near, that you see healings. This week I've seen someone healed of a feet problem, actually. It's not flat feet, but their feet were damaged and broken. And by the end of praying, she said, my shoes are too big. It was really, really funny just to watch what God had done with her. And the guy that prayed for her had never prayed for anyone before for healing. And he was just sort of laughing because I can feel all the bones moving in her feet. He's just sort of, you either laugh or you scream when that happens. But it's really fun to engage with. When heaven is near, it's really fun. Speak back to me. Yes, it's really fun. Yes, okay, thank you. Good. So the manifestation, heaven is near, is an exciting thing for us to engage with. Not only that, but we have astonishing good news. And healing is part of it, but the good news is amazing. We have the same mandate as those apostles. We have the same call to represent, to bring the rule of God. It really, what it is like Jesus, he reflected heaven to earth. He reflected the Father. And that's our job, is to reflect heaven to earth, to reflect Jesus to our world. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, this is a summary. It says this: Jesus is the divine portrait. This is from the Passion Translation, in case you're wondering. Jesus is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, having created everything, seen and unseen, by him and for his purpose. Now, everything finds completion in him. by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is restored and brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Is that amazing? Everything is restored through the cross. Something remarkable is happening. Now, N.T. Wright says, when Jesus rose from the dead as King and Lord of the world, a kind of spiritual shockwave ran through the entire cosmos. A new kind of event had happened. Nobody had ever gone down into death before and come up the other side. God's new creation had begun. Now, for me, Jesus' resurrection was not just some extraordinary miracle where God was showing off that I'm more powerful. God wasn't just showing off. He was doing something quite remarkable, because on the cross, he dealt with evil, decay, and death. God's creative power produced that joining up of heaven and earth, restoring it back to what he originally intended. That's God's plan for us, that heaven and earth should become one, that the rule of God should be reflected in this world in which we live. Now, for me, it's easy to talk about heaven being up here. Okay, and we say, Lord, bring heaven down. And that's not wrong language, it's not wrong picture, but heaven is here. Heaven is just a breath away. Heaven is occupying the same space, if you like, but in a different dimension. Heaven is where God lives. Heaven is the kingdom, it's the rule, it's the place where God, and we can move in and out. That's our, we're meant to be one foot in one and one foot in the other, so that we can reflect the culture of the kingdom, the culture of heaven. But the good news is that Jesus didn't just come and say, okay, we've sorted it. He changed everything. The gospel changed everything. The cross changed everything. It brought everything back to the original intention. It's exciting. It's good news. It's amazing news. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, the gospel is amazing news. Okay. No, it's not just amazing, it's absolutely incredible. Say that. And not only that, but we are a great church. And we're going to change this place called Marlow. We're going to bring heaven to earth. We're going to bring the rule of God. And we're going to present this good news for all to know. Yeah? That's what you're doing at the minute. I trust this is what the youth thing is about. This is what God has called you to. So if you're going to live like heaven is near, you need to live like it. You need to bring the healings, the miracles. You need to bring the glory of God. You need to reflect heaven on earth. Now, I've been traveling to Nepal. And I know that I'm not the only one that's been traveling to Nepal. There are others around here that have also been there. But I've been traveling there for nearly 30 years. First time I visited the church I visit in Kathmandu, it was around 250, 300 people in the church, which is not a bad size. Now, it's about 15 to 18,000 with 100 churches that they planted. Wow. And their intentional heart has been to preach the gospel everywhere and anywhere. They are incredibly oppressed as a nation, quite a very poor nation, very poor people, but I love them because their heart is so genuine and so sincere. Recently, I was there, and I'll tell you what happened while I was there. But there was big trouble because the earthquake, they haven't recovered from the earthquake yet, and that devastated a lot of places, damaged a lot of people. A lot of people are injured through that. But also, India was blockading the border. And so no medicine was coming in, no food was coming in, no fuel was coming in. And they were desperate, had nothing. So we were there, and taxi cost the same as it cost here, which is ridiculous if you actually compare like with like. It was just because there's no fuel. And medicine in the hospital was running out. People that needed medicine were not getting it. So in that situation, the church in China, for the first time, offered to help. And they offered help at the earthquake. And then they came back at the time we were there and offered help again. And they said, what would you like us to, what do you need? What can we give you? Now, you'd think in that situation, you'd say food, fuel, all that kind of thing. And they said, send us evangelists. That's their heart. That's their intention. And I think we need to get that same passion and that desire that we're going to present the kingdom. Let's be evangelists. Let's almost sell everything else to that purpose. Anyway, while I was there, I was doing some training on the Holy Spirit School of Ministry program. And it was my fourth day. I'd been there 3 days, and I'd done one of the first days of this teaching program. And on the fourth day, I woke up, and I was at breakfast, and apparently I fainted, or I blacked out, or something happened. For me, I have no recollection of it at all. Anyway, the person I was with said, oh, you need to go and lie down. I'll do the first session and in the morning session. And I said, yep, that's fine. And they rang me up about mid-morning, and I think I probably blacked out, had an episode is what I called it, at least once more. But I thought I felt better, so they said they'd come and get me. I went down into the foyer, and as I was sitting in the foyer, I had another one of those episodes. Now, the episode was actually a very pleasant experience. It was like I was going down a tunnel, and I really thought, I quite like this. But when I came round, this annoying Canadian lady, I'm being rude about different nationalities here today, this annoying Canadian lady insisted to the hotel staff that this man was seriously ill and that they needed to get him to the hospital. So they, by the time I'd come round, and I hadn't been out that long, they got a taxi sorted and they bundled me into this taxi and sent me to a local clinic. At this local clinic, I had all the tests that they could give, and they were all the tests that you needed, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And they said to me, finally, they said, we got one more test, we can't find anything wrong with you, but we're going to give you this test, it's an ECG. After that, we don't know what to say. And so I prayed, Lord, if this is seriously a problem, then show them now. So while I was on ECG, my heart stopped. I went through another episode for me, and this journey that I went on was quite a pleasant experience. But as far as they were concerned, panic set in because my heart had stopped. So typical Nepali style, they took a picture of the graph and sent this to the local cardiologist. And the local cardiologist said, right, we'll have him in now. We're going to operate immediately. So they took me in to the International Hospital, which had only been there 2 years, incidentally, and they immediately operated, and I had a temporary pacemaker inserted, in other words, two wires. Now, I was met by the leaders of the church. I was prayed for by the leaders of the church before I went in. They sat behind a screen and watched the operation and prayed for me while I was under local anesthetic. So I could see them. I could also see what they were doing to me while I was under anesthetic. So it was quite an interesting experience. And I knew that he loved me, which was quite special too. And then for the next 5 days, I struggled with life. I went to and fro. I wasn't sure. It wasn't till about the fifth day that Lizzie arrived. And I just about at that point was at the point of no return. But they were able to find something that was able to contest or deal with the bug that I had caught that then combined with pneumonia. Now, in that time, I experienced heaven in a way that I hadn't done before. I knew what it was like to say, okay, Yes, I was hallucinating as well, but I saw heaven in a way that I'd never seen heaven before. And it's not that far away. I also want you to know that death is okay. It's quite a pleasant experience. I didn't get the whole way, otherwise I wouldn't be here, probably. But there's no fear in death. There's nothing to be afraid of because it's the most wonderful experience. It's like you're stepping in and staying in heaven. It's that kind of feeling, rather than stepping back. Heaven is that near that you can reach out. It was more real to me in those few weeks than looking at you here today. But it was a breath away. And that's what I want to say to you, is it's not that far. So start to experience heaven as near, as a living reality for you day by day, because it would change the way you see your world. It would change the way in which you engage with your world. Now, Lizzie has her own story to tell on this, because it wasn't easy for her. She managed to arrive at the point where I was, that second point where I nearly died. But God was able to, well, he stepped in and we were able to see an amazing progress from that point onwards. And I would say, just to cut a long story short, when I saw my cardiologist for the first time in this country back in January, this happened back in October, in January, I'd been praying every day for, it was a sick sinus syndrome. In other words, the pacemaker of my heart was the one that had been damaged. I'd been praying that it would be repaired, it would be healed. And the cardiologist said, do you know, there's nothing wrong with your heart. If it carries on like this, we'll take the pacemaker out. I'd love to pray that it disappears, but I'll settle for it being taken out in 2 years' time, if that's what they decide. So God has been amazing in all that whole journey. But the encounters I've had with God through that demonstrate for me that God's kingdom is near and it's very real. Okay, so I hope you're catching that from me. Did you want to say anything?
There's something I wanted to say, because when we were in the prayer meeting earlier, I don't know who it was, but she prayed about the song that comes out of this congregation here, and interestingly enough, we sang, you know, our songs were about the song that comes out of our hearts. And one of the things I think that I've discovered over the last few years, being a Christian for over blooming 50 years, but the last few years, is actually focusing on the song that's in my life. What is my life all about? And I just want to share one or two things in case it helps you, because I had a big birthday this year and I thought to myself, okay, that must mean I'm really, really grown up now. And I had a bit of a panic, because we talk a lot in church about what's your destiny, what's the plan for your life, when you get to 60, you sort of feel like you should be living out your destiny. You should have found what God's plan is for your life. And so I had to talk to him and say, have I actually missed this? Because I seem to have done a bit of everything. And but I don't feel like I've had a plan. I don't feel like I've ever found your plan. And I looked at those verses in Jeremiah where it says, I've got a plan and a purpose for you, and started to look at the words behind it. And I realized that actually the translation is more about that God has endless thoughts about how he's going to achieve the purpose of our life. And it isn't about finding the plan, necessarily. It isn't about finding the destiny. It's about finding who you are and what's your song. And I just want to encourage you, Al, because two or three years ago, you gave me a word about that God would take me, and it's been Alan as well, into places where we'd speak to movers and shakers, people who are movers and shakers. I remember thinking, I'm a bit too old for movers and shakers. But But I've been trying to sing the song of my life, and I feel, particularly for some ladies here, that the enemy, Satan, has tried to silence that song in your life, what your life is all about. And you've had a lot of criticism aimed at who you are and who you are meant to be. And if that's you, then that's a really good sign that you're on the right track. And just being who you are in God does not mean that everything always goes really right. It doesn't, because God's goodness is always challenged in us. But keep singing that song and pay attention to it. That's the one thing Father's been saying to me. Pay attention. Write down what you think the song that's coming out of you is. And don't get overwhelmed, because I tend to look around and think, oh my gosh, that person, you know, they're doing that. Maybe I should be doing that. Oh, this needs to be done. Maybe I should be doing that. But Father keeps saying to me, no, you focus on what is your song. So if we all focus on what our song, then our song won't be on one note, but it truly will be a harmony. And I just really feel that for you guys. Everybody, no matter how old they are, has got some contribution that is amazing. And this friend of ours, who's in Edinburgh, just told he invited us. He's a real mover and shaker, and he's in one of these big trendy offices in Edinburgh. He says to me and Alan, will you come along and just chat about your spiritual life? And we said, oh yeah, of course. Praying like mad it wouldn't happen, because we were scared. I'm like, well, what have we got to say? And he said, just be yourself, because people want something that is genuine these days. They want genuineness. And so we went along and we met about eight of them. And they were great. They were lovely to us, but we were nervous. We talked genuinely about the pain in marriage, how you maintain a relationship. And one of the things that's been happening to me in particular in the last few years is I've seen a lot of the angelic around. And our friend wanted us to talk about that. And I was like, they'll think we're crackpots. So we started to talk about our faith and how it is beyond the natural. It includes things beyond the natural. And we started talking about the angelic. And they're just completely, you know, this is great, talk more. And then we just talked. We actually ended up prophesying over them all. But afterwards, they all fed back and they said things like, we notice when you talk about your faith, not just your faces light up, but your whole bodies light up. And we don't see that very often. And then one of them said, when you started talking, I became aware of this huge emptiness inside, and it started to fill up with this warm glow. But he said, I know the minute I leave this room and this house, it's going to go again. And, you know, that's the impact our lives are having. That the more we become intentional about, I think Alan was saying, the tangible presence of God around us, Father takes us into places where we can sing our song, you know? I've been doing it in Debenhams. Well, when I was meant to be in the Pioneer Conference, I got a bit bored. Went over to Debenhams. And I thought, oh gosh, you know, here's a good chance. This is what I've been doing. I just think, okay, God, if heaven is close and it's tangible and real, then make people bump into it in me and show me how I can just out of that share my life with them. So try it, if that's you. If you're not, I'm not a brave person. I don't like going up to people. I won't be knocking on your doors giving you the good news, but I can sit in a coffee shop and practice the tangible presence of Jesus. And do you know what? This old lady walked by my coffee table. she walked back and she said, "Are you doing anything at the moment?" She said, "Can I sit down with you?" And for the next hour we chatted. And she asked me why I was here, and I said I was escaping a conference. And we talked about God, and I ended up praying for her. I can do that. That's my song. Looking and loving people that I meet. That's my simple song. So I just wanted to encourage you. Find your song, write down what it is, write down your life's mission statement or whatever they call it, and start singing it and see where God takes you.
Okay, so. I'm going to wrap things up, but I'd like us to, can we stand? Back in last August, I've been wanting to go to Lindisfarne for quite a few years, and a friend of mine took me. I had a major sort of encounter, realization of what God had done in 600 or whatever it was. Aidan went there, King Oswald's invitation, and in 15 years, he set the ground for the transformation of our country, of England. And then Cuthbert came along and sort of wrapped it up, if you like, in the next 15 years after that. What about if, could we not do the same? It was through prayer, it was through miracles, it was through telling people about Jesus. It was about bringing heaven near. He lived as if heaven was near. If you read his story, that's really what comes back to me, is he lived as if heaven was here. Okay, so is that what we want? Good, good. Anyone here want healing? Anyone responding to the words that I gave earlier on? Okay, right. Put your hands right up. Okay, so I'd like, if you're anywhere near any of these, I'd just like you to go and touch and release the manifestation, the power of the kingdom, but the manifestation, the healing of the rule of God. So just release that now. Keep your hands right up until someone's praying for you. Identify what it is that you're praying for. And please don't take ages. All you need to do is declare healing, release healing in them now. So Holy Spirit, we just release you to bring healing to all of these different people. Whether it's a story or whether it's a word, we just speak healing to each one of them now in Jesus' name. Okay? Right, now check it out. If you can, check it out. If you can, check it out. And tell the person you're with whether anything's happened. Is it changed? If there's pain, is it gone? Okay, tell. Yeah?
Come on.
So about 2 weeks ago, I twisted my knee really badly while I was running, and I've stopped running for the last week because I thought, right, and then this morning I just said to Pete, I'm going to have to go to the doctor, and it's healed! It's weird!
That's the good news. The power of God wants to break in and change everything. Any other stories yet? Okay, not yet. We'll try again, one more. We're only doing it twice. Okay, so Lord, we just release your healing power now into every one of these situations, whether they're ones that we can see and identify at this moment or not. We just release your healing power. Lord, we want to see your kingdom here now, near. There's no sickness in heaven, so we bring heaven now into these situations and release health, well-being, healing in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Check it out again. Yeah.
So this isn't the issues I've had, which you probably mostly know about, but because I was ill for a long time, I was carrying my whole body weight on my right leg, and I've had terrible knee trouble. That's gone. That's good.
Amen. Anyone else?
Flat feet, and my feet just feel very hot.
Very hot.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. They're not tickling, though. Tingling. Okay. Good. We'll watch that unfold. Okay. I want you just to turn to the person next to you and say, you are amazing. You can bring heaven near. You're made to reflect God to me. Yeah? Yeah. You're not so convinced about that last bit. You're made to reflect God to me. You're made. Come on, repeat it after me. You're made to reflect God to me. That's what it means to make heaven near. Amen.
Great. Wonderful. Thanks, guys. That was brilliant. Much appreciated. Thank